First United Methodist Church here in Reedley. And our Pledge of Allegiance will be by Councilman Solano. Would you all please rise with me?
Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you for this time of new beginnings in the fall, beginning of school and beginning of the fall activities. And we pray for the people of Reedley, especially the youth as they go back to school, and for new things and for fun in the park with cheerleading practice. We thank you for the opportunities, and we pray that you would bless the city and its people. And tonight, Lord, we pray for your special presence as the city council comes to meet. We pray for your wisdom and guidance upon the council and upon all the discussions and actions that take place this night. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, please, the council with a flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May I have the roll call?
Councilmember Beck?
Here.
Councilmember Betancourt?
Here.
Councilmember Chavez?
Here.
Councilmember Solano?
Here.
Mayor Fast?
Here. Presentation. Item one is a six-month statistical report from our police department. Chief?
Good evening, Madam Mayor, members of the council, members of the public. Since school started yesterday, I felt it appropriate that I provide to you our first report card for the year for 2012, as far as how the crime is going in the community of Reedley. If you remember last year, I did indicate that I was going to try to provide you with up-to-date information. Unfortunately, we have not been able to provide this information over the past couple of council meetings. But so this information is a little old, but it is still appropriate to give to you today. You do have in front of you the six-month statistics for the city of Reedley. The first thing I'd like to really point out, and one thing that I am very proud and extremely happy to report, is that the city of Reedley, by comparing the other communities in our area, does have the lowest crime rate per thousand of any of these communities. But I would not go on to say that we are the safest community in the area, because there are other issues that do occur in other communities and other factors that do add to it. Like, for instance, the city of Selma does have Highway 99 that runs through it, so they do have a lot more commuter traffic coming in and out of their community, et cetera. So just by looking at those numbers, I would not say that we are the safest, but by far we are we do have a lower crime rate than other communities do. And that stands at 6.42 crimes per thousand over the first 6 months. We ended 2011 with seven rapes. As you can see, two have been reported so far this year, so we are doing really well in that area. In 2011, we ended with 30 robberies that were reported. As you can tell, we only have eight reported so far. So we've had a significant reduction so far in our robberies. Our burglaries are tracking to be a little higher than they were last year. We ended the year reporting 153, and we have 84 that have been reported up to June 30th. Our GTAs, our Grand Theft Autos, have also increased this year. They stand at 64. We had a total of 72 all last year. These numbers for our property crimes is very consistent with other communities in Fresno County. All the other communities are seeing an increase of property crimes. And last year we ended 2011 with a high rate of person crimes. And this year, as long as we keep on track, we're actually going to be lower than we were last year. But it looks, and our property crimes were actually low last year, but this year, unfortunately, it looks like it's going to be a little bit higher. But again, it's very consistent with what other communities are showing in their numbers. The one area that I'm not too proud of, unfortunately, is our traffic collisions. We have we've reported 46 so far non-injury traffic accidents, and 14 injury accidents. Last year, we ended with 27 injury accidents. We are almost half, or at least half of what we reported last year. So unfortunately, that number is going to increase. Now, as you look at some of the other numbers, you could probably look at, you know, well, why does Selma have lower non-injury traffic collisions? Well, part of that is that some of these eight communities have gone to not taking reports on certain property damage only traffic accidents. We still continue to be full service police department, so we take collision reports on just about anything. If you report it, we're usually taking the report. So that's why we are marking a little bit higher in the non-injuries, because those are property damage only. TCs can be included in that, and other communities are not taking those as report or as collisions. If you look at the bottom line, you can see that by averaging all the other communities in our area, we still fall below the average in all the areas, and the only one that we are close to is in our non-injuries. The average overall is 46, and that's 46.43, and we are at that number now. So again, I'm very proud to announce that we did have a reduction of violent crime in our community, and a lot of that has to do with the proactiveness that the officers have been doing. We have had a significant reduction of burglaries in certain parts of our community. Unfortunately, I think it's actually working. What I have talked about before with Neighborhood Watch, where if you increase your Neighborhood Watch in a specific area, the whole hope is to kind of have the balloon theory. You squeeze it out of your area and you push it out into other community or into other areas of town. The whole idea of Neighborhood Watch is to get Neighborhood Watch throughout the community, so we squeeze it out of the entire city and into, unfortunately, other communities, but as long as it's out of our community. And we've had a significant decrease of crime in the southwest portion of town. And I don't have that map available for you, but if you were to look at it, and the amount of Neighborhood Watch groups that we have in the southwest neighborhood equals about 25 Neighborhood Watch groups. And if you compare the placement of Neighborhood Watch groups to where crime is occurring, you can actually see that it's not occurring in that specific area, but it is occurring in other areas of the community. So there is value to Neighborhood Watch. And once again, I would encourage the community to, if they have not started Neighborhood Watch, to really get involved, because you can really see the difference that it is having on crime in specific areas. So with that, again, this is our six-month report card, and I would entertain any questions that you may have.
Chief, if it's possible, could I have information of what's taken place? Because I've been asked to talk about it in September 27th, night out, and make presentations to a couple groups, and it'd be beneficial to me to have this information so I can present it then. You talk about the southwest corner of the city, which is District 4, and they've done a positive job with the Neighborhood Watch, and people have stepped up and say, hey, I want to volunteer. I want to be eyes and ears to the city, and that's what it takes.
Absolutely.
If I could get information, as much information that you have.
Oh, absolutely. I'd be happy to provide anything that you need as far as any statistics that we can provide to you. Absolutely.
That would be great.
Yes, ma'am.
The domestic violence, has it been up, or where would this fit in?
There are certain areas that, or certain categories of the Part 1 crimes that aren't included in here, the aggravated assaults, arsons. They're not included in these numbers because I just wanted to identify just the serious criminal offenses that are occurring in Reedley. Not that domestic violence is not as serious, but it does fall under the aggravated assault, which does kind of get skewed in a lot of the simple batteries that we have, et cetera, so the numbers could be very skewed. Domestic violence is actually on a decrease in our community, so that's really a good thing, that the domestic violence is on a decrease.
You know, you're talking about non-injury accidents. It's what's getting ridiculous is people ignore the speed, people ignore stop signs, and it's getting ridiculous. I can stand in my front yard watering my lawn in a two-way stop sign. Mm-hmm. People just run it. They don't care. No. And that's not the only part. We have areas that people are complaining. I said, what are we doing about that? Well, you know, we're limited to officers. So people have to take a little initiative and help some way.
Yes, and you know, it is, that is true that we have not, and again, the statistics will show that we haven't focused a whole lot on our traffic collisions, and obviously by going out enforcing, and part of that is that we don't have a traffic officer. Some of the other communities that are experiencing a lower traffic collision rate do have a full-time motor units out in the field. We just do not. Actually, I am currently working with two less officers than I ended 2011 with. Right. You know, so we are, you know, we are struggling, but you know, I would tell you that the spirits are still up. We're still trying to do our best, and we're trying to deal with the situations, you know, as much as we can.
Yeah, and I understand that, but, you know, every time you give a ticket, you know, the city really gets minimal funds back from that ticket. So sometimes you say, why should we bother? Let's take care of something else instead of traffic tickets. But if they could just give us a bigger percentage, then it'd be worth giving these tickets out to people to realize, you know, pay attention to the speed and the speed signs.
Oh, absolutely. I think it takes everybody, it takes the entire community to be mindful of the laws, and, you know, and not to create any accidents or cause any accidents. We were out in front of schools yesterday, and it was interesting seeing some of the traffic that was flying through. I think I had to yell at a couple of people to slow down and stuff, but, you know, but it is true. We do have to be mindful as a community, and we do, as, you know, as community members, remind others to slow down. You know, it you know, traffic enforcement is important, you know, but there's the three E's that it goes along with right. Traffic is the enforcement, education, and engineering, and, you know, and that's something that we need to make sure that we do, is that we identify if there are any areas of town that need to be looked at, you know, for any safety issues, and that's what we need to do. But at the same time, we also have to do enforcement and education.
And looking at the paper yesterday, the number of citations that the president or city or Clovis gave out, a tremendous amount around the school area.
Mm-hmm.
People have to be vigilant of what's taking place.
Absolutely.
You know, safety is first. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Public comment provides an opportunity for members of the public to address the City Council on items of interest to the public within the Council's jurisdiction and which are not already on the agenda this evening. It is a policy of the Council not to answer questions impromptu. Concerns or complaints will be referred to the City Manager's office. Speakers should limit their comments to not more than 3 minutes. No more than 10 minutes per issue will be allowed. For items which are on the agenda this evening, members of the public will be provided an opportunity to address the council as each item is brought up for discussion. Is there any public comment this evening? Consent agenda. The consent agenda items are considered routine in nature and voted upon as one item. Under a consent agenda category, a recommended course of action for each item is made. Any council member may remove any item from the consent agenda in order to discuss and or change the recommended course of action, and the council can approve the remainder of the consent agenda. A council member's vote in favor of the consent agenda is considered and recorded as a separate affirmative vote in favor of each action listed. Motions in favor of the consent agenda are deemed to include a motion to waive the full reading of any ordinance on the consent agenda. For adoption of ordinances, only those that have received a unanimous vote upon introduction are considered consent items. The consent agenda. Would anyone like to pull an item from our consent agenda? I would like to pull item number 4. Anyone else?
I'll make the motion to approve the rest of the agenda.
Second.
Call for the question.
Councilmember Chavez?
Yes.
Councilmember Cellino?
Yes.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Councilmember Betancourt?
Yes.
Mayor Fast?
Yes. Okay. On item number 4, I just had a question. There was a large dollar amount, the $5.4 million. That is a list of projects that we actually would like to do in our city still. And I was wondering, Nicole, if you could tell us, or Paul, either one of you,
Oh, sure, you can, yeah. Okay.
Could tell us a little bit about what those projects are and what we are looking to happen with our redevelopment agency.
Okay, thank you, Madam Mayor, members of council. This particular large lump sum, as the mayor pointed out, is the bond, or the loan, if you'd like to view it that way, that was taken out. We are in a strange situation with the dissolution of the redevelopment agencies, because we did our bonding at a time when we did not yet have time to encumber those funds and get into projects, but it was prior to when the dissolution went into effect. So the state has right now told us not to move on those bond funds, and they've not sent us a determination yet as to whether or not we will have to give those bond funds back or whether we'll be able to go ahead and move forward in those projects. The projects include things like the master planning of Cricket Hollow and Reedley Beach. There were other various improvements, and we can get the full list to you, but the council did approve that list at the time that the bond went forward for vote. But right now we are in a wait and see mode, and so we're going to continue to put this on our ROPS, our required obligation payment schedule. We still will have to pay our debt service on the bonds, and the state will continue to provide us the amount of money necessary to pay that debt service, but the money is essentially useless to us right now.
Okay. Thank you for that clarification.
You're welcome.
Is there any public comment on this item? Seeing none, what is the council's pleasure?
Make a motion to adopt number 4 on the agenda.
Second.
Call for the question.
Councilmember Betancourt?
Yes.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Councilmember Chavez?
Yes.
Councilmember Salino?
Yes.
Mayor Fast?
Yes. Administrative business. Item 8 is a resolution number 2012-071. A resolution of the City Council of the City of Reedley expressing support for the 2012 Kings Canyon Unified School District bond measure, known as Measure K.
Okay.
City Manager?
And Madam Mayor, members of Council, the Kings Canyon Unified School District, as you know, is pursuing Measure K, which is a $40 million bond measure. Juan Garza, the superintendent, is here to do a brief presentation on what Measure K encompasses. Enclosed in your packet is a resolution of support. If the council so desires, the council can make a formal statement on behalf of the city and approve a resolution of support. It is not a requirement of the city to do so. So after Mr. Garza has given his presentation, we can have discussion on whether or not the city wants to take a formal position on Measure K. Your options are really three options. One, to approve the resolution of support. Two, have a resolution of opposition to Measure K, or to simply not provide a formal city opinion on it. So you do have several different options. So I will turn it over to Mr. Garza.
Mayor Fast and council members and city staff and Ms. Ziba, thank you for the opportunity to be able to provide information and answer any questions related to Measure K. And obviously our wish on behalf of the board of Kings Canyon Unified School District is that you endorse it. Our mission with the school district is very clear. Programs for our students, educational programs, and we just yesterday opened a new middle college, high school at Reedley College. If you had opportunity to see the news, it's exciting. Again, it's another program for our students. And so the other part of our mission is co-curricular activities. And that is everything from our music programs, our bands, our ag program, NJROTC. It doesn't matter what the activity is, because our belief is that these activities engage students in healthy activities, and they're anti-gang, anti-dropout, anti-pregnancy. So there's no preference as to which other than to support them all. We have a very good history academically in our district since we've been measured using the API, which is the current standard. We just received unofficial scores, and all of our schools have shown very good progress. We've always grown steadily, so we have good academic progress through our educational programs. Strong partnerships. One that is outstanding is with the City of Reedley in our youth facilities. I think the city probably uses our gyms and our fields more than our athletic teams, and that's fantastic, along with Reedley College, Emmanuel, and the list goes on. It's important to note also that we did fulfill all of our promises on the two bonds in 2002 and 2006 that we made to the community. Everything that was on those lists was completed. All of those projects were ahead of schedule and under budget. And when completing those projects, we had a choice with some money from the savings, because I did note that the projects were ahead of schedule, which was to return some of the matching dollars to the state or use them with some of the bond language that we had, and that's how we've been able to acquire some of the properties that we have. It was a simple choice for us, and again, an investment in the future. It's also, the research clearly shows that clean and well-maintained schools increase academic achievement, obviously, and it also improves attendance, and that's the research that indicates that. And it also increases property values. And that's what Measure K is all about. The needs that have been identified in Measure K in this fact sheet, I don't know if that has been passed around there to you, but I'll just highlight it. Everything that I'm speaking to is covered in this bond fact sheet. But under Mr. Ron Hudson's leadership, a task force was convened of about 30 to 35 people over a six-month period. Every school was evaluated in terms of needs, infrastructure, and so it wasn't my list, it wasn't the board's list, it was community needs along with an engineer and architect, and a 10-year plan was developed identifying those needs for every school. And if we were to complete everything on that list, it's $300 million, and that would include a new high school in Reedley along with a new elementary school in Reedley and a new elementary school in Orange Cove. This bond does not cover any new schools. The new high school, the new elementary school, or the new in Reedley, or the new elementary school in Orange Cove. This bond is very specific. It has, and I'll get into the list in a minute. But I just want to remind you that in this community, we had not passed the bond measure between 1964 and 2002. That's a big stretch. We were behind. We had four schools on year-round. We were at the verge of going double sessions at Reedley High School because we were over 2,000 in a school that has a capacity for 1,600. We've opened Orange Cove High School. It has a little over 700 students, and Reedley High School is back at 2,000. So we're back to where we were. But again, this bond doesn't include any of that. I also want to speak to our fiscal responsibility as a district. The bond measure in 2002 was for $18 million. The bond measure in 2006 was for $32 million. Simple math is $50 million for the two bond measures. We were able to leverage that into $125 million worth of construction. And part of that was because of our partnership with the City of Reedley. You became our partners in applying for joint use funds, and we were able to get an additional $19 million as one example, and that's what helped build the gymnasium at Grant, which you have full access to, the cafeteria multipurpose rooms, and the library that we did build also at Reedley High School. So we leveraged $50 million into $125 million worth of construction. I also want to note that of the 32 school districts in Fresno County, as an example, Fresno, Clovis, Sanger, and so forth, there's only two school districts, Fowler Unified and Kings Canyon Unified, are the only two school districts which have not asked its employees to take furloughs, pay cuts, freeze and step and column, or done major layoffs. So we're the only two out of 32. And I make note of that because that speaks to fiscal responsibilities to the community that we serve. And that's important to note that. We can't wait for Sacramento to address our needs. I don't think you're going to wait for Sacramento to fix the needs here within the city either. These are local needs, and we want to address it with local funds. And the only avenue that's available to us is the bond measure. And the funds would stay local. That's at the direction of the board. What's on the list? infrastructure. Safety is number one. Infrastructure and safety are the number one and two things. Restrooms need repairs. Roofs need replacing. Playgrounds, classroom technology, infrastructure. But there's four major projects on the list also. And the four major projects are, number one is an aquatics complex at Reedley High School. Number two is complete the stadium at Orange Cove High School, the pride of the community. Again, it's for some of those co-curricular and community use projects. Two libraries, one at Dunlap and one at Alta. During the course of the last decade and a half, the district has been able to expand and modernize every library in the district in one way or another, whether it's the new library at Reedley High School, the new library at Jefferson and Sheridan, and or expand and modernize all the rest except for these two. These are the last two on the list. So what we've done is we've removed the price tag for these four major projects, taken the balance and divided it into all of the other schools. And every school has a list. Again, it's infrastructure and safety. Roofing is an example of infrastructure. The restrooms, ADA issues, the list go on and on and on. What does this mean to the community or the average homeowner? The maximum, and I'm going to speak to the maximum that's allowed, would be $60 per $100,000 of assessed valuation, not the current property market value, assessed valuation according to the person's taxes, which would be about $5 per month. So simple math again, and I have one of our teachers here checking my math, Mr. Friesen. If your house is worth $2,000, obviously then it would be $10 a month or $120 per year being the maximum. Again, our partnership is very strong with the city, and good schools equate to a good community, and a good community typically has good schools. We're proud of what we have, and the thing that I'd like to leave you with and then entertain any questions is the average age of our school is 45 years. Think of your home. 45 years, thousands of students going through there. The electrical, the plumbing, the heating, the air conditioning, all of those things, and we just want to maintain and repair our schools. And then somewhere down the road, when enrollment grows, we'll deal with the new facilities as based on need at that time. Right now, we're still okay. So with that, I'd like to entertain any questions that you may have.
Okay. Thank you for your presentation. Are there any questions from our council?
Is this a 55%?
Yes, under Proposition 39, 55%. We did do hire a consultant to do a phone survey in the community. Even before we presented this resolution to our board a few months ago, and the community phone surveys supported these projects based on a company doing a phone survey in Reedley, Orange Cove, and the outlying areas. Very reputable company. They did the same type of survey for Clovis Unified and for Fresno Unified. Their predictions were within one percentage point of what actually came in, and the company did say that. They were surprised. I'll need to say that the aquatics complex received as much positive support, because typically aquatics complex across the state of California, when voter surveys are conducted, and we have someone here that knows what I'm talking about, usually don't fare well. It did fare well in our district. So we were pleased to see that. These lists are based on community and development of the list, and then community support of what's on this list right here.
You know, one of the things that impresses me is that the last few years, the city and the school district have partnered.
Very close. Very close.
That's been positive for both agencies. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you can do that, and you go to the legislature and say, this is a project you want, but it's a joint venture, they look at it and they listen a little bit more instead of coming in and duplicating yourselves. So I think you're going to get 100% from a lot of people on this bond.
Thank you for that comment. Just this Friday, if I may comment, Ms. Eva. Mrs. Eva, along with a team from Kings Canyon, attended a meeting with the California Energy Commission seeking to try to get $3 million grant towards our transportation facility. And there was a team of about five from the California Energy Commission. We finally made it to the third floor and presented our case. It's taken us a while, but we're getting there. And there's some potential there. We're optimistic. But What I want to note to reinforce your comment, Mr. Salino, is that they did say it's unusual, and they appreciate that it's a partnership and that we were both there together in trying to work towards a common goal. So that was reinforced by the members of the California Energy Commission. And we enjoy the relationship. We serve the same community. We both benefit if we work together.
Mr. Garza, I had a question on the funding. We have a $40 million bond. Can you tell me how much of that would be work would be done on Reedley schools?
Absolutely. And I have a folder here with the list.
Or I should say Reedley City Schools.
Reedley City Schools. Okay. Well, let me get more specific on the formula, okay? I mentioned that the last two bond measures equaled $50 million, mm-hmm. and we turned it into $125 million. Mm-hmm. This bond measure is for $40 million, mm-hmm. and we're going to be very transparent and not make promises about more. But we do expect another $20 million in matching from the state, which would turn it into $60 million. It should. The state will need to pay us that at some point. We're not including the matching dollars or any other funds that we're able to get into this project list. So we took the $40 million and we developed 5 or 10 different kinds of formulas, how old the school was, how big it was, every formula we looked at had some knocks in it. And the one we probably came up with also is probably going to be subject to some criticism. But we took $40 million, we subtracted the aquatics complex, the stadium, and the two libraries. The aquatics complex and the stadium are at $7 million each. The libraries are $1 million each. And then we took the balance of that, and we took all the schools, and we took the newest schools, T.L. Reed, Silas Barch, Citrus Middle School, and Orange Cove High School, and we divided their allocation in half. There's a formula for that, Mr. Friesen. And then we took our two smallest schools, Continuation, Kings Canyon, and Dunlap Leadership Academy, and only gave them a quarter. And so it's going to be about $2 million per school when it's all said and done. So at Reedley High School, if you'd like me to go through the list as an example, and you can pick any school you want, or I can go through every school in Reedley, whatever your preference is. And we're still working on the language here because this is engineer and architect language. And we're trying to make it parent and staff friendly. So for Reedley High School, it would be add or replace some of the portable classrooms, the aquatics complex, painting of the interior, provide ADA access in some areas, gut quite a few of the classrooms that need to be gutted and refinish them. It's kind of like gutting it and rebuilding the classrooms, repairing some of our they're called play courts, but it's really like the tennis courts and the blacktop areas and the fields. Work on the student drop-off and pickup areas because it's unsafe out there. I don't know if you've driven out there before or after school, so try to work on improving the drop-off and pickup area. Repair and replace many of the doors and hardware. Replace the heating and cooling equipment. Our utility bills for the district is $2 million per year. And air conditioners are going out, heating systems are going out, so replacing it with more energy efficient to try to bring it up to date and save some money. Quite a few roofs need repairing at Reedley High School. The sidewalks and landscaping, replace some of the electrical and technology infrastructure. Nothing would be used for computers, printers, projectors. It's electrical and technology infrastructure to better meet the needs of the future in technology. Signage, and we want to add some shade structures for our students. So that's all for Reedley High School. I'd be glad to go through any other school that you're interested in, but they're very similar needs. Priorities, infrastructure, safety, and then the last is a little bit of the wants, the shade structures for our students and so forth.
Okay, so kind of with that calculation, I'm making an assumption that probably about 40% of this bond money will be in the city of Reedley.
Yes. Probably more, I think. Because we have more schools than... Depends on if you count Riverview. It's outside the city limits. Alta, Great Western, New Valencia, Dunlap. I don't know if you're just comparing Reedley to Orange Cove.
No, Reedley to out of Reedley. So I would include only the city schools because that's kind of our jurisdiction.
I think as superintendent, I can say this comfortably. All schools are receiving a fair share. Every school is receiving a fair share.
And then I had one more question. I don't know if you're going to have an answer to, but I'll ask it anyway, and we can get it later if needed. We had a bond measure in 2002 and then again in 2006.
Correct.
And can you tell me how many, what term those bonds were for, how many years, and how many years our citizens will be paying on those?
I can tell you that the average life of a bond is 25 years. The maximum allowed by the state of California is 40. They usually don't get up to 25. They vary because of the assessed valuation. It could go up. It could go down. And we have, I think we put an article in the paper not too long ago that the bond was the 2002 or 6 bond or both because of the interest rates was redone to save the taxpayers about $500,000. Mm-hmm. But the average is 25 years.
Okay. So we have 15 to 20 years to repay on those bonds yet to go. I'm just trying to kind of get a grip of what our citizens are having to pay out. And my concern is, you know, our property taxes are going to increase, and so our people that are unemployed are going to have to pay more. And I understand that they will, on the other side, benefit with their children going to school and having better facilities. But I'm a little bit hesitant to say, let's go for this. Mm-hmm. And then I have one more question. On the aquatics complex, have you calculated what the cost will be to run that once you have it built?
We're going to give you the highest estimate at this point, and it's $200,000 per year. Could be less, but that's the figure we're using. Again, we want to be transparent with the community, and that's why I spoke to our fiscal stability. We did an analysis, and we believe that through good fiscal management, we can handle the maintenance. And our partnerships with Reedley College, Emmanuel, the city, and other agencies like the Marlins, the youth group, there's some fee structures for some that get charged and some that do not get charged. Like the city would not get charged. Yeah, Emmanuel would probably use it. They would get charged. The college would use it. They would get charged. Mm-hmm. So we have a fee structure for that.
Okay. Thank you. Now that I've taken up most of this conversation.
That's okay. It's important that these it's important that these questions get asked so people can make informed decisions. That's why I thank you for the opportunity, and especially the questions.
Yeah. Mr. Garza, I've got a couple of questions. And the economic times being like they are, and we've already went through two bonds, and we're going to ask a burden upon the community again, I'm kind of looking at this as being a personal decision by the public. I mean, we're talking about, we're speaking for Reedley, obviously, but you have an entire unified school district that's involved in this. And I really believe that's kind of a personal decision that should be taken on by the individual in their own thoughts and needs. I understand our needs. I understand we're going to benefit a great deal. I understand the cost of doing business. But I'm kind of on the same level with the mayor regarding where we stand years down the road of paying these bonds. I'm just, that kind of does worry me. We can only take so much. The bucket only holds so much, and you can only take so much out of it. And eventually, one or the other is either going to run over or get empty. And it's just, and you're emptying, the emptying of the pockets of the public is kind of getting tough.
These are the needs that have been identified, is what I can say. And I understand, you know, that your comments and your perspective on the matter. As a school district, we have a responsibility to the community that we serve to maintain our facilities as best we can. And the state structure for maintaining facilities isn't existing, and it's getting cut.
You're right.
And since 2000, I can quote these figures too across the state. It's public information. Since 2008, right about when the recession stands, 80% of the bond measures to help schools maintain and build have passed. The communities have stepped up, recognizing that they're frustrated with what's happening within the state and within our country with the recession, but they're willing to support local schools, and that's what we're asking for. And the reason we're asking for city council support on this is that you are the elected leaders of the community, and hopefully would endorse it, understanding that when the person goes to the poll and or does their absentee ballot, they're going to vote their personal desires at that time. Fully understand that.
You know, I was on that board, school board, when we tried for, I think, half a dozen bond elections before we finally got one passed. And I know that the need is there. I mean, I know that, you know, we can't really separate city from county, from Orange Cove, from Dunlap. Because just for an instance, we got kids from the city going out to Great Western. We got kids from the city that are going out to Riverview.
Exactly.
And so, and you know, we've talked in this in these meetings about facilities, the importance of sharing facilities, the importance of the use of facilities, because we serve the same public. And absolutely, it's a difficult time right now to ask people. And you know, we're taking a position here. We approve it, as whether the majority of us approve it or not, then you know, we make a statement. I remember this clearly. When if you wait till the need is there,
you're gonna pay more.
Mm-hmm. And you're looking at facilities that probably, if you were to pass a bond today, you probably wouldn't build a school in 5 years.
That's correct, 5 or 6.
So, I mean, having been there, I know that you know, our facilities are breaking down. You know, we've seen the aquatics, the need for the aquatics. We've had how many drownings have we had in the Kings River?
Kings River.
You know, I just, you know, absolutely everybody's going to vote their heart when they get in that, but I, for one, support this bond.
I have a personal interest also, because I have 6 grandkids there, I mean, that are still in school, and I have 3 that started kindergarten this year and 2 more on the way that next year. And I feel responsible for their safety, for their having clean schools and not overcrowded, because I know we went year-round. And so, but I also, with the river, it's, our kids need to learn how to swim, and with the city's pool, just, it's not available anymore. We need to have a place for our kids. That's another form of recreation, and having good schools keeps our kids educated and out of trouble, because education is the number one thing, is to keep our kids out of trouble. And if they have a place to go that's safe and clean, and the first thing when people move over here, they always ask for the schools, and mm-hmm. And I really believe this is very important and would support it, whether I had grandkids or not.
It would, as a superintendent, it would be very easy for me to have kind of looked the other way and not thought about this or worked with our board on this, but and then retired and gone away into the sunset nice and easy. But we do have an obligation to the community, and our board recognizes that, and it's a difficult challenge, and we understand that there'll be mixed feelings, but the need is there, and it's going to cost more later on. The market's good for construction, and mm-hmm. The needs exist, and they're not my needs, they're not the boards, the community identified the needs, and the community through the poll, telephone polls, supported these projects. So I can answer further questions, or if you want me to get on my knees down there, whatever your pleasure.
Are there any questions from our public on this item? Any concerns? Would you come up to our microphone, please? Thank you, Juan.
Dale Melville, 16413 East Danube Avenue. Just a quick question for Mr. Garza on the with the energy of $2 million a year and the pool, which needs heating and all those things. I'm assuming part of the analysis was whether to look to see whether solar was a viable alternative.
Yes, yes. And how are you? Good to see you, sir.
We conducted a study of solar energy in our district. We did a 1.5-year study school by school. And the other school districts around us that have installed solar have typically passed bond measures to pay the $25 to $50 million that it costs for installation. Our analysis concluded that the cost to install solar in our district was $25 million. The payback the first 2 or 3 years was very nice, but the tab would have been 22 more years for our district. And the way the technology is improving so quickly in solar, we weren't sure that we wanted to tie our board's hands for a 25-year payment to kind of to break even. We don't have the same incentives that a homeowner would have. I'm not going to knock solar. The tax incentives for a homeowner don't exist for us in that same manner. But a year and a half study, school by school, didn't pay off.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things that I'm looking at is that, you know, the school district is no different than the city. We've had to make some tough decisions here, whether to approve something today or wait till tomorrow, knowing if we didn't do it today, it was going to cost us twice as much tomorrow. And you're looking at the same thing today. There's a need. You had a long time trying to pass a bond in the past years. People finally picked up and said, hey, we need the help. And I think we need to do this same thing today. There's a need, let's support it.
Thank you.
In closing, I do want to commend you and our city staff for the work that you've done in working with us to do different projects and to make the facilities on both sides, the city side and the school district side, available to the people that are living here in town. There's very few cities and school districts that work together
very
as well
few.
As we do.
Very few.
And as leadership, I'm very proud to go and represent our city at different organizations and meetings, and that comes up so often. And I just formally want to commend you on being willing to ask your staff to be supportive of those type of activities.
Good leadership, and it's great working with Ms. Ziba. And city staff.
Okay.
More in the water.
Could you please state your name?
Robert Lewis, 1438 South Riverview Avenue, Reedley. It's really interesting to listen to this and see our concerns. I just came back from my 60th high school reunion, traveled about 4,900 miles. And highways filled with new cars, motels filled with people staying in them, restaurants filled with people. If there's a recession, apparently the notice hasn't gone out to a lot of people. Well, all right, but we still know there's a lot of people in need. But I don't think that Reedley bonds for Reedley issues are going to break Reedley people. We've got a federal and state government working really hard at doing that. So I'm not too concerned about Reedley bonds. Most intelligent voters, I think, will support schools and local issues a lot faster, and this I had to write very carefully, that they do resent paying for rules and regulations that help out no one but the bureaucrats. So I hope we'll see your support for this.
Any other public comment? Seeing none, what is the council's pleasure?
Motion to approve.
There's a second?
Second.
Call for the question.
Councilmember Chavez.
Yes.
Councilmember Salino.
Yes.
Councilmember Beck.
Yes.
Councilmember Betancourt.
Yes.
Mayor Fast.
Yes.
Thank you. I'll still get on my knees if you like.
Okay.
And we have a kickoff September 6th next Thursday. If one of you city council members that spoke to Mayor Fast, she's going to be out of town, would do us the pleasure and the honor of doing a welcome at our kickoff next Thursday, the 6th, 5:30. I'll give you a chance to check your calendars. If you can check it now, let me know. I'd appreciate that also. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Garvin. Item 9, directions to staff on the initiation of a zoning ordinance text amendment to establish location criteria and development standards for body art facilities.
Thank you, Mayor, members of the council, Darlene Mata, planning consultant. Yes, tonight we're asking you to initiate an ordinance that would allow us to start drafting policies that would go into your municipal code to address the location, the appropriate locations, and the type of standards by which body art facilities could be located within the city of Reedley. Body art would include tattoo shops, body piercings, and there may be other types of body art that we might include as we get into our research, but the main thrux of the ordinance would be tattooing and piercings, whatnot. We're currently have been looking at other sample ordinances and would anticipate having a location criteria, both zoning and distance from schools and churches, for example. This is prompted by a phone call that we got recently, very recently, about someone interested in opening a tattoo facility here in the city of Reedley. And we have gotten this question over in the past few years occasionally, but yet no one has come in to get an actual permit. And the reason we need to do this, and there's some, there's been a little bit of expediency in bringing this to you, is that currently your municipal code does not address tattoo shops at all. So we're a little at risk in that when you don't address something, it doesn't mean it's just precluded. It means that you need to find within your ordinance another use that's similar in nature and then allow the proposed use to go in those same zones. Currently in your municipal code, the only thing that would be very similar would be permanent makeup type of use, which is in your municipal code. And it is an allowed use as permitted without any regulations in several of the zones within the city of Reedley. So with that, we're asking you tonight to provide us with some direction if you have any thoughts on to in regarding tattoo and piercing types of uses, and then asking you to direct us to, or initiate and direct staff to move forward on this municipal code amendment.
If I may chime in and add a few more comments before council deliberates on this. A lot of cities at one time did not want to see tattoo, we'll call them body art facilities, within their city limits. There have been legal cases that judges have come down and said this is a First Amendment right. Cities cannot simply preclude businesses from locating here. This includes things like palm readers, fortune tellers, adult businesses, tattoos, etc. So the reason that Darlene and I are approaching this with a little more urgency, I like the word expediency that she uses, is because we want to be proactive in addressing these businesses. We know that we must allow them in the city if they come through our doors. So let's be clear about the conditions in which they can locate. That means, for instance, we've talked about making sure they don't locate within 500 feet of a school or a church. That means being clear about their hours of operation, etc. The difference between now and a year ago in tattoo facilities, though, is that as of this past March, the state is now regulating tattoo facilities, tattoo salons, parlors, whatever you want to call them. So there are much more stringent regulations. All tattoo artists have to have certifications on bloodborne pathogens. They have to have certification by the public health department. They're a lot more stringent than they used to be. So what we sometimes view as these old-fashioned tattoo parlors that were hangouts and maybe not the cleanest, it is a different picture nowadays. However, we do want to be proactive in addressing these types of businesses. And so the strategy that we thought would be good is to bring these businesses one at a time, where we can incorporate them into our municipal code, and it gives us the control rather than having the business itself be the controlling party. So under the law, we would need direction from council to initiate. Staff can't simply bring this forward. That's why we're bringing this forward to you, to formally give us direction to initiate. We will then go through the Planning Commission for approval of whatever zoning code we come up with, and then that would then come to you after the Planning Commission. So that's the process that we would follow.
I think in this community, I think we would see some opposition to something like this. What I would ask is there a limitation on the areas that we can direct this kind of business going to? I remember years ago, I can't even remember what it was, but it was a business that wanted to come in, and there was a lot of opposition, and then we said, all right, we'll just put them in the industrial park. They went away.
Mm-hmm. You're right on target, and that's why we want to make sure that we do something, because as Darlene was mentioning, if the closest use we have is permanent makeup, and you'll notice that we do have a lot of beauty salons that offer permanent makeup.
Exactly.
Beauty salons can go just about anywhere. So we want to be very clear at what zoning, which zoning areas these parlors can go into, and this gives us the control over that right now.
One thing is, I may be way off base here, but is there any way you can limit the number of shops in a given populated area or anything?
I don't know that we can limit the number per se, but what we thought we could do is do some distance criteria so you don't end up with two or three in the same block. So some distance between facilities, so that they're, if we do get multiple requests, they would be spread out in that zone, whichever zones that we decide to put them in.
Like 2 or 3 miles apart?
Well, to tell you the truth, you know, I drove through the city of Turlock, and Denny Mason was talking to me about this as well, because she drove through the city of Turlock. And they at one time had a beautiful downtown, very much like Reedley's downtown. If you stood at one end and you looked down with the trees and the shops, it is now jam-packed with tattoo parlors. To me, that would be the worst thing that could happen to our downtown. So we want to make sure that we have a zoning that's appropriate, that keeps it maybe out of the main downtown area, that sort of thing. So.
Any public comment on this issue? Seeing none, what is the council's pleasure?
I make a motion that we approve them to go forward with a... initiate his own ordinance for tattoo parlors.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
And bringing back locations of work we can allow them to...
There will be specific criteria.
We wouldn't be against what state rules or whatever.
We will look at all of those things when we draft. Yes.
Before we proceed, are we contacting other communities that have done a very good job with the control of this to kind of pattern ourselves after them?
I've reviewed several other cities, ranging from the small type of city to the larger cities. We've looked at the community that was recently involved in some litigation in the ordinance that they drafted after, in order to prevail or to at the direction of the courts on how they needed to allow these. So making sure we're meeting all those legal requirements and the needs of the community is our intent.
Thank you.
As long as we don't look at San Francisco.
Okay, there was a motion and a second. Call for the question.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Councilmember Chavez?
Yes.
Councilmember Betancourt?
Yes.
Councilmember Cellino?
Yes.
Mayor Fast?
Yes. Item 10 is the approval of the 2012-13 Memorandum of Understanding with the General Services Unit effective September 1st, 2012 through June 30th, 2013.
And if I can just kick this off real quick, sorry. Thank you, Madam Mayor, members of council. Before Paul gives you the update on what this MOU includes, I'd like to formally thank our GSU unit, the entire unit, but also and very much the stewards that we have. This has been an exceptional year in terms of the collaboration that the city has had with our unions, our associations. This negotiation is no different. Exceptional collaboration. Even though this took a little longer than the other unit, they were with us the whole way, really trying to understand the issues and getting involved in the issues. And so I just want to thank them formally from the dais. They did a fantastic job. I think ended up with an MOU that is fair to both parties, gets the city where we need to be fiscally, and some language changes that gets the association, the union, where they need to be as well. So Paul will walk through that, but I did want to give them a note of thanks.
Sure. Good evening, Madam Mayor, City Council, members of the public. Paul Malikian, Director of Administrative Services. The item before you tonight is to request approval of the 2012-13 Memorandum of Understanding with the General Services Unit effective September 1st going through June 30th, 2013. As Nicole just said, the attached MOU is a result of a comprehensive evaluation of the existing agreement and a true team effort between the city team and the representatives from GSU. The parties have reached a tentative agreement on a 10-month successor MOU for September 1st, 2012 through June 30th, 2013. The existing agreement ending June 30th, 2012 needed to be extended 60 days to allow sufficient time for negotiations to be completed. All revisions to the MOU are summarized in Exhibit A of the report and incorporated into a full copy of the MOU attached as Exhibit B. The majority of the revisions are to clarify existing work arrangements and processes, and most do not result in additional costs to the city. Significant revisions from the existing MOU include that the 2% wage deduction suspension for all classifications will be discontinued effective September 1st, 2012. However, the 40-hour furlough that is equivalent to 2% of pay will remain in place for the term of this agreement. Both the proposed and adopted budgets assumed concessions from the General Services Unit, specifically that members would begin contributing $50 per month on a pre-tax basis towards their medical premiums, and that the city would begin contributing at the rate of the lowest of the city's three health plans, not the average of the three plans, which is what the current arrangement is. The budgets also assume that the 2% salary deduction would be reinstated and that there would be no furlough. Therefore, as a result of these assumptions that were built into the budget, the additional cost to the city of GSU medical contributions staying as is approximately $36,613 for the 2012-13 year. However, the cost is largely offset by advanced budgeting for the delayed implementation of those medical contributions due to PERS notification requirements. That is, if we were to make a change to the employee contributions towards medical, there's a 60-day notification requirement with PERS, and so we wouldn't be able to implement that change right away. So we had to advance budget for the fact that even if we had an agreement July 1st, we wouldn't be able to implement those changes till, say, September 1st. So we had to forecast and budget for that delayed implementation. We also assumed that the furlough would be discontinued if the medical contributions were accepted by GSU. The amount budgeted for the delayed implementation of the medical benefits was $4,543, and the value of the 40-hour furlough is $24,918, for a total of $29,461. The difference, therefore, of $7,152 represents the actual additional cost of this MOU to the city for the 2012-13 year. And just to recap, that's because of the $36,000 roughly of the medical contributions that were assumed in the budget. Not all that's going to be realized because we advance budgeted for the delayed implementation, and we also assumed that the furlough was going away. Since the furlough is staying in place, That's going to offset the majority of the cost of the medical contributions not happening as part of this agreement. And given that the $7,152 is spread proportionally amongst eight different operating funds within the city, the additional cost will not have a material impact to fund balances, services to the public, or current year budgets. As a side note, both GSU and the Reedley Police Officers Association have agreed to participate in a healthcare committee this year that will be tasked with finding ways of reducing overall costs of the city's medical plans. So there's already several tasks that are on the table, and we'll be scheduling our first meeting here within the next week or so. The attachments have more detailed information as to what those changes are, and I would entertain any questions at this time, please.
You know, I'd just like to say that thank you to City Manager and all, but mostly the employees for stepping up and agreeing to this concept here that we're proposing and avoiding layoffs to the city. And like we said before, anytime you lay off anyone from the city, it affects the service to the public. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to thank you. And I think in the future we should just do the negotiating in-house and not hire anybody else. Mm-hmm. It makes it a lot easier with the employees to understand and agree.
And Mr. Salino, we did have a team. I was not at the table. I'm very proud of our team that negotiated. Lori Oaken, Paul Malikian, and Fire Chief Isaac, who negotiated this agreement on the city's behalf. Very proud of them.
I do appreciate that also. I do, though, have one concern, and that's the medical. We had really tried last year to push in that direction that the employees begin taking a piece of that responsibility. So is that the reason you have the task force put together to push to do some revamping for this coming fiscal year?
Absolutely. As I've probably been here almost 7 months now, and in speaking with employees, there's a lot of ideas out there. You know, some ideas are thrown out there. If an employee has coverage through their spouse, that, you know, maybe if we gave them some sort of incentive not to take city insurance, that they would maybe come off of our insurance, and instead of us paying $1,200 a month or $1,100 a month, you know, we could reduce our costs there. We're looking at possibly verifying certain information out there just to make sure that all of our coverages for all of our employees is correct. So there's really a whole myriad of potential areas that the task force could look into, as well as looking at some other medical plans possibly to see if there's a lower cost way of providing the same services out there. So
yeah, I think your insurance representative would have some good ideas for you. I know in the private sector where I work, we've done kind of a health insurance here and some extra benefit over here if this cost goes down, you know. So there's a lot of offset, and also having it be not taxable and being in a cafeteria plan to have whatever funds you do put forth, you know, as an employee makes it a better way of taking a hit, I guess.
Right. And actually we've looked at the possibility of a cafeteria plan because it can be cost neutral for the organization if enough people participate, because it reduces the payroll taxes that the agency pays, so it can be a good thing. So all of these various items, it's actually kind of a daunting list if you start to think about it, so we've got some work ahead of us. So
thank you, Paul. Are there any other questions from our council on this item? No. Any questions from the public on this item? Could you please come up to our microphone? Thanks, Paul.
Thank you.
Good evening.
Good evening. Dawn Barcellas, 1892 North Thompson. I just had a real quick question. You said that for the furloughs that will stay in effect, it equals 2%.
Approximately.
Okay. The other part, you said the percentage of the medical plan that increased for the employee, what was the percentage for that? That they said they would, yeah, I just wasn't fast enough writing. Okay. I was just curious if they were going to take 2% over here, and that was their represented their furloughs, it's going to stay in effect. I wondered what they were going to be agreeing to paying in additional as far as their medical costs. That's what I was wondering.
Absolutely. With the successor MOU, there would be no changes to the medical structure of the agreement. That is that the city would contribute 100% of the average of the three city plans, so there would be no change for this current year.
I just heard it wrong.
Okay, sorry about that. And then if the employee is in a plan that's costs more than the average of the three plans, then they would pay the amount above and beyond that, yeah.
Any other comments from the public on this issue? Seeing none, what is the council's pleasure?
Motion to approve.
Second?
Second.
Call for the question.
Councilmember Chavez?
Yes.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Councilmember Betancourt?
Yes.
Councilmember Salino?
Yes.
Mayor Fast?
Yes. Item council reports. Item 11 is a request by council members for future agenda items and or reports of council member activities. I'll start with Mr. Chavez.
I don't have a report, but I was curious about the courthouse. Is that available for purchase or for a dollar?
You know, we have had conversations with the presiding judge about that. And I think we're fortunate in that the court actually owns that piece of property. So if they are ever going to start court back up again, well, this is a courthouse they own as opposed to, let's say, Coalinga and Selma, where they don't have a courthouse. Right now, they still have their agricultural folks out of there, so they're not willing to look at a sale. But we did ask them if they would entertain any proposals, and they said no.
Well, what about eminent domain?
Jody, strike that.
You didn't hear that.
Well, we're hoping that
it's such a beautiful building, and you know, it's within walking distance here.
Well, we're hoping that things get better and they can open up again.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think for our citizens, that's what we need to be asking.
Exactly.
When are you coming back? So, okay. Any other comments?
No.
Okay. Councilman Salino?
I have none tonight.
Okay. Councilman Beck?
Yeah, I attended the Neighborhood Watch Captain's meeting with Chief Garza, and very good program. It looks like you're getting some more interested people regarding the Neighborhood Watch. There was some fresh faces at the program that night. You and Cindy did a great job. And, of course, with Don Beckenhauer in there, you couldn't lose. So, you had a really good turnout, too. It was last night I attended the Five Cities Board meeting in Kingsburg. The agency has decided to go a little bit different way. They're going to start promoting themselves and marketing at the larger projects that's going on within the state. They're going to start having booths at, like, the Ag Expo in Tulare, League of Cities. They're going to start trying to bring themselves a little forward into the marketing. I talked to a lady last night by the name of Leanne Edgar. And she is with EDC, and she brought some very interesting information to the board regarding grants that's been approved, and also that there's several large manufacturing plants looking to relocate into the rural areas. And she's going to be getting that information to the city and the surrounding city areas. There is one large manufacturing plant that's looking to take up about 16 acres. They're looking the first wave to hire about 250 people. The second one is about 200 more. So you're looking at about 450 jobs somewhere within this area. So we're hoping that that happens. And it's and I jumped all over that. I told her, I says, can I have the name of the company? She wouldn't give it up. So, but anyway, I made sure that she was going to get in contact with our city manager. And just so happens that our city manager's on, knows this lady very well, so she's going to make contact with her. Also, they had what's called a PEG program. It's a public education government. It's for video. It's for the local citizens, the people can't make it to council meetings. It's city business that can be conducted on a public channel. The cities is wanting to pool their money. They're looking at maybe approaching a 1% on the utilities for cable to fund this project. But the cities want to pool the money. Yeah, this is something I would like to bring to the city manager to maybe take a view of this and see where we stand, what would be interested in, what would be our advantage to this and how we could come about it, and maybe get the staff to look into what kind of funds would be generated for this and what we could do. And I've asked her to join the next meeting of five cities to present it, because this first came up. She actually presented this. Now, they think it's a pretty good idea, and so they brought it back up at the meeting. And it's you can get a lot of information out. You have people that cannot attend the meeting, especially people that are homebound. It can be aired live, or it can be picked up. It can be put on our website. So there's some good possibilities out of this program. And that is that comes through CMAC, is the, I believe, the company that is involved in this. So that's pretty much what I have.
It's interesting. Years ago when we voted to have, what was it, Comcast come in? Mm-hmm. Or cable, or was it cable? One of the, and one of the things that was being presented to the cities, because the cities were the ones that dealt with this agency, and they made the decisions of when to raise prices. Mm. Okay, and one of the things that was offered to the cities was that your city councils would be televised to the public. But for some reason, that went by the wayside and never came true.
Right.
So it's interesting. Yeah.
Well, a quick snippet that goes along with what Mr. Beck is saying. Our Comcast franchise agreement expires in September, and under a law that was passed in 2007 called the Digital Infrastructure Video Competition Act, we will fall under a new statewide franchise when that franchise expires. So the fortunate thing is we don't have to stand at the table and negotiate with Comcast, and they're a whole lot tougher than GSU, I'll tell you. So that's a good thing. The other thing it does, it under DIVCA, we currently get 5% franchise fee. We'll continue to get the 5% franchise fee, but we're entitled to an additional 1% franchise fee for the public access channels, and that's what they're referring to. Under the old franchise agreements, though, they would never open them up. So under the statewide franchise, they do. So Mr. Beck asked if I would bring this forward to council in a full presentation about what this is and how this would impact our community and what it costs and all of that good stuff. And so I will do that either at the next meeting or the meeting after.
Thank you. Mayor Pro Tem?
The only thing is I participated in the first day of school, the walk to school, crossing the kids, police officers, and it was a fun day. The kids were all excited. They were all dressed up real cute and ready to go. And it was a nice morning. It was nice to have our officers all out there working. Mm-hmm. So thank you very much.
I attended the Council of Governments meeting last Thursday. And one of the discussion items was the San Joaquin Valley blueprint, and they have done a study on the market demand for higher density housing in the San Joaquin Valley. out to the year 2050. And this was put together by the Concord Group. And I wanted to read just real quickly a couple of snippets of a couple of paragraphs of what they did. And let me just read it. Their task was to complete analysis to determine the market demand for higher density residential housing types in the various municipalities and geographics that form the greater San Joaquin Valley. And that included Fresno, Kern, Kings, Madera, Merced, San Joaquin, Stanislaus, and Tulare counties. And they were to present a dynamic market demand model that generates market demand scenarios through the year 2050. And the model is capable of deriving demand estimates for each valley geography or combinations of multiple geographies. And then they did a test with five smaller communities, and the communities that they considered to be under 50,000 inhabitants was the cities of Shafter, Lathrop, Lemoore, Los Banos, and Patterson. And they found that in these areas that there was a demand forecast indicated for the need for higher density products in the smaller communities. And they said that 18% of the valley's population resides in a city larger than 50,000 inhabitants, thus characterizing the greater region as a diverse collection of small towns and cities rather than dominant metro areas. However, despite the size of these areas, the demographics in these smaller communities echo those of the greater county and metro geographies. Consequently, multifamily activity should not be restricted only to large metro areas. While home ownership in small cities is higher than the four larger metros, 62% to 38% own versus renting in a smaller community versus 54% to 46% in the metropolitan areas. They found that the difference is not significant enough to direct activities away from desirable multifamily rentals. The mix for the five selected communities is 61% single-family homes, 17% townhomes, and 22% condos and rental flats. And in Mary's figuring out of this report, basically what they're saying is that the smaller communities like our community will probably benefit from having some more mixed-use type of communities where there are smaller homes and more higher density so that we don't use our local farmland. So I received this and I looked at it, and they have these graphs that are like, got to get a magnifying glass. So I asked if they would give us this same report that was readable. So when I get it, I will forward it on to you guys, because I think it'll have a lot of good planning information, probably, Darlene, for you. They at that meeting, they also discussed the federal fiscal year 2012-13 Transportation Act monies, and $853,102 was approved for Reedley, and some of that was from the local transportation funds, and some was from the state transit assistant funds. Also noting that COG Council Governments is also doing their version of a city plan, general plan, and they're calling it the Regional Transportation Plan. and wanted to let you know that we voted to elect Joel Glick to be on a roundtable membership to review and comment on this process. So congratulations, Joel, and we'll be working together with you on that. And in reviewing this particular item, a lot of the smaller cities were really concerned because they were asking, is their general plan going to conflict with the city's general plan? And so there was a lot of discussion about that, and I my take on that was we need to get our general plan done before they do. So I don't know what we need to do with that, but we need to work on that.
Yes, ma'am.
So that we don't have to conform to something that they're making recommendations for. Also, the federal government has approved their federal surface transportation money, and this is now called MAP 21, and it is a new two-year plan, which in the past has only been a one-year plan. And they announced that some of the funding is being moved from roads and streets to increase transit funding. So just an FYI on our planners there. Also, at the Fresno County Rural Transit meeting, we approved the updated policy for prohibited substances testing program that is used for all the van drivers and staff at the Rural Transit. Also, I was invited to the Fresno Zoo to see the new seal expansion project there, and it was pretty neat. They have a viewing area that you walk down and can watch the fish from under, kind of underground, even though you're not underground, but so you can watch them in action, and it was fun to sit there for a while and just look. I love watching animals do their just whatever. Also attended the Cruising for Jesus car show, and weren't quite as many people there this year, but there were some neat cars as well as some good music and programs. There was a gentleman, a guest singer, his name was MC Boulevard, who came from San Jose to give a short concert. And he grew up in the gang lifestyle in Los Angeles and chose to get out of that. And he shared his story. And the group at Cruising is hoping that they can bring him back to Reedley again. He was just really inspiring. And my last item is congratulations to Nicole Ziba for her one-year anniversary working with our city as our city manager. I think you've worked hard to make our city run better. And we appreciate you.
Thank you.
Okay, that's all that I had. Staff reports.
Couple things. I've been watching the tweets as we've been sitting through this meeting to see if there's been any answer on Jesse Morrow. As of 7 p.m., the public comment has been closed, and the board is now deliberating, the Board of Supervisors. There is no answer as of yet, so we're still watching to see what happens there.
Yes.
Did want to let you know that in your boxes as of tomorrow, there would be a memo on a couple of change orders that are being processed administratively for our Water Tower project and our CDBG street slurry. They both fall within the administrative allowance that council approved for change orders. However, we know how critical it is for this council to be transparent to the community on change orders, etc. So that memo is going to be in your boxes. It explains why the change orders are coming through. Mr. Martinez did a great memo on that, so that'll be in your boxes. I wanted to let you know. And then I do believe that, did you have an update? Nope. Anybody else have any updates?
One. Okay.
With the street work, Mr. Martinez, will there be a map showing us what streets are being done in the city? Because questions are being asked by the public. Where are they? What part of the city? What streets or whatever? And we don't have an answer.
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm sorry. No, Martinez, city engineer. Good evening, Mayor and City Council. Yes, that's a good question, Councilman Soleno. As a matter of fact, we did looked into posting the map on our website that would show the different streets and the sequence that they would be done on a daily basis. And unfortunately, we haven't been able to get to it, but we'll do it tomorrow.
And I believe the city clerk has one last.
I just have one item. Before you, each one of you have a packet from the Fresno Fair. And once again, we are going to be having our 7th annual city race. That's the horse races. And I just need to know by August 31st if you plan to attend. This year, our horse race will be October the 4th, and we will be sharing the horse race with City of Parlier. So just let me know at your earliest convenience if you will be able to attend so I can RSVP on your behalf. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Item 13 is a closed session item. Government Code Section 54956.8, and it's a conference with rural property negotiators. So we will be going into closed session on that item.